It is so infuriating and so maddening. And I empathize with the people who are there in pain. And I empathize with the protesters who are going to be home by 9 o'clock, Nicole. That's the thing. The Black Lives Matter protesters, they're going to take their signs and they're going to go home. And then you're going to have a whole bunch of interlopers and white nationalists and 3%ers and terrorists battling out in the street. And that's how the Black Lives Matter protesters are going to get depicted.
Trevor Carey.
Willing to fight.
The Trevor Carey Show.
And I'm a go now swinger.
Trevor Carey. Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Let's go!
Because that's where the frustration comes from. Not just that another life was snuffed out, but that a lot of people aren't doing what you're doing, which is distinguishing between those who are concerned about our criminal justice system and the routine murder of black people and those who want to co-opt the experience for their own political joys.
We also have a president who can't or won't be briefed about the domestic terrorism threat posed by white nationalism in this country. It's
more police officers have been killed by white nationalists in America than Al-Qaeda.
They're blaming it on white nationalists now. Wow, I didn't know it was the KKK out there burning and looting, and that's what my eyes have not seen. Kamala Harris, our esteemed senator. Boy, she's really been out here focused on the fires, hasn't she, as her state burns down? She.
Kamala Harris.
Is still promoting the Minnesota Freedom Fund. That little thing when the riots started in Minneapolis, all the famous people and politicians gave money to bail them out so they could, you know, just be a revolving door. Burn, loot, steal, jail. It's lint, lather, repeat. That's what it is. In, out, in, out, in, out. That's what the Minnesota Freedom Fund does. Bail people out. Well, it looks like our esteemed senator from California,
Kamala Harris,
helped bail out of jail a man accused of now sexually assaulting an 8-year-old girl. This violence, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, they're trying to transform the United States of America, and it's obvious to me that they are trying to force a race war. I'll tell you about a man. He's a black man. Manning Johnson is his name. Manning describes himself as a dedicated comrade, a professional revolutionist. He belonged to the Communist Party USA for 10 years. He was a union organizer, a director of agitation propaganda, a member of the party's national committee, even ran as the candidate for a congressional seat in New York. But in 1939, Manning Johnson left the Communist Party. And after World War II was over, in the 1950s, when all the communist stuff came to the surface, he testified about communist activities to committees. In 1958, 1 year before he died, he wrote a book called Color, Communism, and Common Sense. This guy became a communist at a young age, 21 years old. And like other blacks, here's his words. He said, "I experienced and saw many injustices and inequities around me based upon color, not ability. I was told that the capitalist system is responsible, that mass pressure could force concessions, but that just prolongs the life of capitalism." He said he was taught to unite and work with all those who more or less agree that capitalism must go. He said, "To me, the end of capitalism would mark the beginning period of plenty, peace, and prosperity. All racial and class differences would end forever." He said, "Being an idealist, I was sold this bill of goods by a black graduate of the Lenin Institute in Moscow." He said, "We stirred up race and class conflict. That was the discussion of the Communist Party's work." He said, "The evil genius Stalin ordered the use of all racial, economic, and social differences, no matter how small or insignificant, to start local fires of discontent." See, get everybody upset with each other. George Soros going out and putting $2 million into a district attorney's race so he can get a DA in there that will either bring charges or not file charges that will create local fires of discontent. Are you following it? You connecting the dots here? This man, Manning, said once he joined the party, he got 2 years of practical training in organizing street demonstrations, inciting mob violence, how to fight the police, and how to politically throw a brick and hide, he wrote. Then he said he attended a school where he studied red political warfare. Now, this is 1939. Let's come on, let's flash ahead to 2015, Black Lives Matter. You know, their co-founder, Patrice Cullors, quote, myself and Alicia in particular, Alicia, the other co-founder of Black Lives Matter, quote, we are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on ideological theories. Now, many of you have heard this. Many of you, it might be new news to you. This co-founder of Black Lives Matter worked with the Black Panthers and the Weather Underground. The guy that she studied under, Eric Mann, Black Panthers, Weather Underground. She, along with the co-founder, created the Black Futures Lab. The Black Futures Lab states its website is a fiscally sponsored project of the Chinese Progressive Association. Guys, this is straight up communism. And our city here in Fresno, our mayor, everybody on the city council signed a Black Lives Matter proclamation. These are trained Marxists. There's a school district in Michigan I'll talk about later, but they've now backtracked. Now that they know what's going on with this, they have now backtracked. And did you also know that Black Lives Matter has now taken off of their website the statement they had up about the destruction of the nuclear family? You know, that's now no longer on there. I wonder why. Because people are awake and seeing what's going on. Former NFL player Marcellus Wiley, Fox Sports 1 host, he said this back a few months ago, but it's worth bringing on again. Because he knew that. He knew how they were attacking the family. And for the time period we live in, this man is a Black man.
I don't know how many people really look into the mission statement of Black Lives Matter, but I did. And when you look into it, there's a couple things that jump out to me. My family structure is so vital and important to me, not only the one I grew up in, but the one I'm trying to create right now. How do I reconcile that, what I just told you, with this mission statement that says, quote, we dismantle the patriarchal practice. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement. When I know statistics, when I know my reality, forget statistics. I knew this before I even went to Columbia and saw these same statistics that I'm going to read to you right now. That children from single parent homes versus two parent homes. The children from the single parent homes, this is in 1995, I was reading this. 5 times more likely to commit suicide. 6 times more likely to be in poverty. 9 times more likely to drop out of high school. 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances. 14 times more likely to commit rape. 20 times more likely to end up in prison. And 32 times more likely to run away from home. I knew that. You know why I knew it? Because a lot of my friends didn't have family structures that were nuclear like mine, and they found themselves outside of their dreams and goals and aspirations. So when I see that or as a mission statement for Black Lives Matter, it makes me scratch my head.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what's destroyed Black homes? Isn't that what's destroyed white homes, Hispanic homes? The family unit not being intact. But way more prevalent in the Black community. And if Black Lives Matter and you're seeing the destruction with the family, why would you be the opposite of that? See, people are waking up. People are figuring this out. Switching over to the violence last night in Louisville with Breonna Taylor, of course. We're going to get that more in depth. But AOC, she said it's a result of the system. Does that sound familiar? I just described how the communist socialists are trained to react. It's the result of the system. That's what it is, right? Communist agitators are trained to misinform, or as conservatives like to call it, lie, as they are. MSNBC, I played it at the top of the hour. They're lying. They're misinforming. That's what communist agitators do. And when you think of a communist agitator, it doesn't have to be Antifa or a Black Lives Matter protester, rioter, looter, somebody firing a weapon. It can be a guy in a suit, man, on MSNBC.
It is so infuriating and so maddening. And I empathize with the people who are there in pain. And I empathize with the protesters who are going to be home by 9 o'clock, Nicole. That's the thing. The Black Lives Matter protesters, they're going to take their signs and they're going to go home.
Yeah, that's what we've seen, right? At 9 o'clock when the mayor says, hey, guys, kids, time to settle down now. Head on home. Do your distance learning schoolwork. That's what they're doing, right?
And then you're going to have a whole bunch of interlopers and white nationalists and 3%ers and terrorists battling out in the street. And that's how the Black Lives Matter protesters are going to get depicted.
Yeah, this is their new push to lie to voters. The Congressional Black Caucus Chair, Representative Karen Bass, another representative of California here. Of course, she's a Democrat. She also worries very much that white supremacists, oh, they're the ones doing the violence.
Our community, there are warriors. When they go fight more affluent communities, they are there to protect and serve. We have to address the culture of policing in the United States. Louisville was the site of the Boogaloo Boys. So we have white supremacist organizations that I know are already around, already on the scene, and I worry very much that they will infiltrate the protests and that they will incite violence.
Both law enforcement and the National Guard preparing for what could be another chaotic night of protests. Things really getting out of hand last night. About a half an hour before that 9 p.m. curfew, that's when investigators say officers were responding to a call for shots being fired when they were shot. Now, both officers are expected to fully recover from their injuries. One actually is already out of the hospital. Meanwhile, the suspect, Lorenzo Johnson, has been arrested on multiple charges, including assaulting two police officers.
Yeah, we got to get them in by 9 o'clock. It's just not right.
People aren't regulated.
It's not. They got to be. They're raking the black AG of Kentucky over the coals. Attorney General Cameron warning against celebrity influencers like Oprah Winfrey, who don't know the facts about the Breonna Taylor grand jury decision, right? I'm going to break it down, not opinion. We're going to do facts next, and at the bottom of the hour, Fresno Police Chief Andy Hall on the latest crime stats and his letter, and it was from the heart, and we'll have him up at the bottom of the hour.
The Trevor Carey Show, Power Talk 96.7, AM 1400, and the iHeartRadio app. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Fresno Police Chief Andy Hall coming up bottom of the hour at 4:30. We're going to have the attorney Nathan Miller back on. He's following the lawsuits for businesses here in California about the lockdown being unconstitutional. If the lockdown is unconstitutional, then all our elected officials, you know, took an oath to uphold the Constitution, the state Constitution, United States Constitution. And if it's unconstitutional, then you have to do the opposite of what the state is telling them that they must get in line and do. By going along with an unconstitutional order, you are also given the thumbs up for the unconstitutional order. That's how I see it. It's pretty simple. The Breonna Taylor shooting that happened. There have been, Oprah Winfrey coming out with it. So many celebrities coming out with this, and Attorney General Daniel Cameron. Let me just hush and let him talk.
There will be celebrities, influencers, and activists who, having never lived in Kentucky, will try to tell us how to feel, suggesting they understand the facts of this case and that they know our community and the Commonwealth better than we do. But they don't.
Oprah Winfrey put her Breonna Taylor on the cover of her magazine, even paid for 26 billboards calling for the rest of the police officers around the city of Louisville. So I see that as Oprah Winfrey, before the grand jury even had a chance, calling for the arrest. That's inciting violence. It's part of it. Part of it. You had actresses at the Emmy Awards wearing the Breonna Taylor shirts. Here's the facts. Breonna Taylor had an ex-boyfriend, Jamarcus Glover. He was knee-deep in crime, drug dealer. He used Breonna Taylor's address for deliveries. He was arrested in a no-knock warrant before. Breonna Taylor, some say, did she know what her ex-boyfriend was up to? Another warrant was issued, had Breonna Taylor's name on it. They go to her residence, they knock, even though it was a no-knock raid. They go into her house after no answer, after they knocked. The police were shot at. They were shot at by her new boyfriend, criminal Mr. Walker. Kenneth Walker started shooting the police. He shot Sergeant Mattingly. Breonna Taylor got caught in the crossfire. She was standing in the hallway. Now, you'll hear many in the media say, she was just asleep in her bed. She was standing in the hallway. She was innocent. Little media covering the actual facts on this. They didn't walk into a random apartment and execute someone. Breonna Taylor was dating a criminal, Kenneth Walker, who decided to shoot at the police. He did have a legal gun. His defense was he thought somebody was home robbery, home invasion, just coming through the door. Now, the grand jury poured over all this information, and they came out with reckless endangerment. The one officer that was fired, that now charges have been brought against an apartment that were adjacent. These are the facts. It involved, doing business and dating an ex-drug dealer, having your address, having deliveries there. The idea that police murdered her is absurd. You need to know the facts, and don't get upset because the media just tells you these are the facts. I can't really tolerate this any longer. Her ex-boyfriend was a drug dealer, and her current boyfriend shot at the cops. They knock, they announce themselves. So he's seen Attorney General of Kentucky, Mr. Daniel Cameron. They are just raking him over the coals. Poor guy.
Evidence shows that officers both knocked and announced their presence at the apartment. The officer's statements about their announcement are corroborated by an independent witness who was near in a proximity to apartment four. In other words, the warrant was not served as a no-knock warrant.
And he continued.
According to Kentucky law, the use of force by Mattingly and Cosgrove was justified to protect themselves. This justification bars us from pursuing criminal charges in Miss Breonna Taylor's death.
Mm. It's a sad instance. It is crossfire, and it goes to show that don't hang out with people that the cops are going to come doing no-knock search warrants on. You got to know who you're with. And I wonder what I haven't heard her family talk about it. And on all accounts, she was a straight-up citizen. She was an EMT, but hey, sometimes when you hang with the wrong folks, you invite some drama into your life, and that's what this seems. She was innocently shot. This officer, obviously, the grand jury looked at and said he was just shooting his gun too wildly across the room. But then you get into this thing. Who knows how cramped it is? Bullets are flying. You're an officer. Split-second decision. Oh, you fired a few feet in the wrong direction. Man, they got to make so many decisions snap like that. Just gross last night to watch these agitators harassing, of course, white people just minding their own business at a restaurant in St. Petersburg. Took it over, threatened them with violence, going over, sitting down actually at their table. Intimidation. To the max, as you've seen, and it's not stopping. It's really something who they choose to go up and, you know, yell, stand up, fight back. They don't go into a biker bar, do they? They don't show up at a police bar, do they? They don't show up at a sports bar, do they? No, they go find grandma and grandpa. They probably have really young grandkids or older grandkids and that kind of age group right there, and they harass them. When the woman told the agitator, this is my table, and attempted to, I couldn't tell, remove him, her, them, it. She was called Karen, and we'll knock your old beep boyfriend up, beep out. It was just, I didn't even want to play the audio. And don't they realize this achieves absolutely nothing except more Trump voters? I mean, Black Lives Matter continue these nightly efforts. You know what you're doing? You're recruiting Republican voters. Taking part in the march on the streets of D.C. on CNN, they said, until now, I'm not going to say it's been peaceful, but it hasn't been violent. Actually stated that last night. And if you woke up this morning to CBS this morning and you didn't pay attention to it, here would have been your perception.
Outrage and grief. Louisville erupts after a decision in the death of Breonna Taylor. Two Louisville police officers were shot following a mostly peaceful day of protests.
Protests coast to coast, mostly peaceful.
Now the shootings marred what had been a largely peaceful demonstration of outrage in a city where a state of emergency had been declared in advance.
You know, yesterday on the air, while I was still on the afternoon, they're saying peaceful. There were already fires. They were already blazing fires. Peaceful, right. Fresno Police Chief Andy Hall will get the latest crime stats and his letter from the heart that he sent out. We're going to talk to that about that and to him next.
The Trevor Carey Show, Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
I think that peaceful protest is number one. It's fine to do that in a peaceful manner. But when it gets less than peaceful, as you see all over, then it's unacceptable. And that's where law and order is necessary. And that's where law enforcement is very important.
I'd like to welcome to the show Fresno Police Chief Andy Hall. Chief Hall, thank you for taking the time. I know you're a busy man.
Good to talk to you again, Trevor.
Now, I'm just going to give you a moment to sit there and relax just at your desk because a lot of people might not have read what you wrote last night, and a lot of people might not ever read it. So I want to make sure as many people as possible hear it. So I'm just going to take a moment and start this interview with what you read. And it was from the heart, and it touched me, and here we go. Chief Hall said, this evening I watched in horror as a major U.S. city erupted in violence directed at its police department over the death of a young woman. As the violence escalated, two police officers injured by gunfire, and I pray for their recovery. Just like you, I've dedicated my life to the service of this community. Now, Chief, this was to your officers, correct? Yes.
Yes, that's correct.
We will respond to calls for help and will risk our very lives regardless of race or income. I'm not sure how police officers became the bad guys and gals, but I can tell you my heart is heavy. Do not lose your faith or allow yourself to be hardened by calls for defunding. Your community support and needs you. Just yesterday, I met with community and religious leaders from neighborhoods most impacted by the recent spike of crime in our city. They made it very clear that they support you and need you in their neighborhoods. They are witnessing the dramatic increase of violence and are ready to work hard in hand with our department to make our community stronger. They do not support defunding their police department, and we can no longer afford to allow their voices to be drowned out by the radical few. I continually tell the public to not judge our department, our officers, by the actions of officers 3,000 miles away. Similarly, we cannot judge our community by the actions of communities across the country. Now's not the time to circle our wagons and distance ourselves from the very people we swore to protect. We need to get out of our cars and engage with our community. Treat everyone with dignity and respect. Let them know that we are still here to serve and we will never abandon them. We are Fresno and this is our family. Andrew J. Hall, Chief of Police. What made you sit down and write that, sir?
Well, I'm a little choked up just hearing you listening to it. Last night, I turned on the television and I watched what was happening in Louisville and officers getting shot from people within their own community. And I'll tell you, it brought tears to my eyes. And I just thought, you know, if I'm going through this, my officers are going through this as well. And I just figured that I needed to say something to them to keep them doing the right thing for the right reasons. We have a community to serve. We have people to protect, and I just don't want to lose it. I've worked my whole life to protect this city, and I could feel it slipping away. And I just wanted to let our officers know not to give up. Things will get better, and we'll come together as a community.
Chief, I saw a video today of last night in Los Angeles, LAPD, a black officer just sitting there taking the abuse to his face. I mean, inches away, they're flipping him off every word. And I was sitting there thinking, after reading your letter, what is going on in that officer's heart right now? I mean, the courage it takes, but the restraint. I was like, how can you restrain from responding?
Yeah, and that's the most troubling thing is, you know, everybody calls for more diversity, and we seek it out. We want people from the community to apply. We want our officers to reflect our community. So we really go out and we work to get people from within the community, diversity in our department. And then when we do that, there's a people in our community that try to break that down. And that's so unfortunate because, you know, these officers are blue, and they're brothers and sisters and they don't deserve that at all.
Yeah. Well, your leadership showed, and leaders, it was like a coach speaking in a locker room. When I read it, I was like, man, if I was a football player and a coach gave a speech like you wrote, I would run out in the field ready to take it on. Morale has to be, that's why you wrote it, but morale really has to be down right now. Or should I be surprised? Are there officers that are saying, hey, let's do what the chief said right here. Let's do this.
You know, I was talking to a group of officers just before I came on, Trevor, and I was telling them pretty much what I wrote, and I could see their heads nod. You know, they all agree that we're here for the long haul. We're not going away. We're going to be here to support our community. We're going to stand with our community, even when it doesn't feel like they're standing with us. It's difficult. It's difficult. They turn on the mainstream media and hear over and over again about defund the police department. Let's abolish the police department. That's difficult to hear. And I just wanted to give our officers the words. I'm receiving a lot of support from the community, but I don't know if they receive it every day like I do. And I just wanted to give them words of encouragement to continue moving forward, to continue protecting this city, and let's work with the community. We can do better. If I were to say we couldn't do better, then I wouldn't be a chief of police. We can do better, and we want to work with the community. But to have what's going on right now with our troops, it is difficult, and we're trying to keep them motivated.
Now, to everybody out there listening that heard that letter, it might sound simple, but it's up to us to cheer them up. When you see an officer, cheer them up. Make it your goal. Do it your style, your way, but just go cheer them up a little bit. Chief, the shootings in the city, every day, it seems like I have a story now, but it seems like, according to Lieutenant Steve Card here, ABC 30 said at least half of the shootings they're seeing are confirmed to be gang-related. Is that pretty normal throughout years that aren't kind of the year that we're in right now, that half the shootings are gang-related?
Well, and we're seeing a huge spike in gang-related shootings. In fact, it's much higher than in years past. In fact, almost 70% of our homicides are gang-related, and it's generally in the 50% area. And what we're finding, Trevor, is because of zero bail and early releases. Now, keep in mind, they've released 600 people from our jail, local jail, back onto our streets. An additional 20,000 prisoners have been released from the state prisons. Those are back in our community, most of them gang members. And what we're finding is, even if we arrest them with a gun, a felon in possession of a gun, we put them over in the jail, they get released immediately, right back onto our streets. So we are seeing a huge increase in crime. When you look at shootings in our city, they're up 86%. We had 475 shootings this year versus 255 last year, almost double. Homicides are up 37 to versus 32 last year. What's more disturbing is we're seeing the trend. Now, this started in April, and we're seeing this trend continually to rise every month. In August, we had 97 shootings in a single month. That's triple what it was before zero bail. 10 homicides in September. Trevor, I can't remember the last time we had 10 homicides in our city. That's disturbing to a police officer. That should be very disturbing to our community.
These laws that have created this environment are criminal. These laws are. I got another quote here from your lieutenant. Lieutenant Card said, we had hardcore criminals on parole with assault rifles. They're released in hours. Now, Chief, we were sold that, hey, we're just going to let the low crime guys out, the guys that are almost done with their sentence, you know, the last 30 days. This doesn't sound like that.
Well, it's not. What they're looking at is the last offense, and they're showing that maybe you got arrested for a burglary or a robbery, but you may have a history of gun violence, even homicide. Well, those don't count. So they're only looking at the committed offense for right now, and that's what they're dealing with. Those numbers are completely false. I'll be honest with you, Trevor. There's very few people in prison that aren't violent.
Yeah. Well, you would know it. You've dealt with them your whole life. Tuesday night, I was like, what is this, the Wild Wild West? We had cars driving down the 180 firing at each other. When it was first announced, there weren't a lot of details, but Chief, can you give us an update on what happened with that story there?
Well, I can give you a little bit. He had been recently released from the jail. He was picked up by a female and driven from the jail. Apparently somebody was waiting for him when he was released and started chasing him. She got onto the freeway. She was driving, and back and forth, or at least gunfire ensued, striking both her and the other passenger. Unfortunately, she died and he was injured.
Now, the speculation is it could have been retaliation because the man Garcia was acquitted of murder in 2019, so maybe somebody waiting for him. It could have been.
Yeah, this is a CHP case, so I don't have a lot of details. But it does appear that this could have been This wasn't a random shooting. It does appear he was targeted.
Yeah. Well, Chief, listen, I know you have an extremely busy day. Is there anything you want to say to our community in closing that you didn't? You said a lot in that letter. I don't know if you have another emotion left after that, but is there anything you'd like to say in closing, sir?
Well, I just want to let the community know that we're going to stand with you through thick and thin here. We do appreciate the support. Our officers do appreciate a simple wave when they drive by. It means a lot to us. We're gonna be here. We're gonna stand tall, and we're gonna get through this together. And I just want the community to work with us. And you know what? Honestly, Trevor, I've been very proud of our community. We haven't seen the violence other cities have experienced, and I think that goes a long way to the relationships that we built.
Now, I had a proud moment. Most of our Fresno stats we're not really proud of, but I was scanning Breitbart one day, and they had a story. They said, out of the top 50 metro populations in America, Mesa, Arizona, and Fresno, California were the two that did not have riots. So,
yeah, and that says a lot, not only about our police department, but it says a ton about our community, being able to work together and allow us the opportunity to explain our actions and give us the opportunity to deal with them. And I've been real proud of a lot of our community leaders that are giving us the opportunity to deal with problems before they manifest in the community.
Now, that full statement you wrote that I read, available on your police department Facebook page, is that?
I did. I posted. This was really directed at my officers, but I thought it was important to let the community know what our officers are going through. And you know, this stuff leaks out, and then sometimes the media doesn't print the entire statement. So I just decided I would put it out on Facebook, let people know my thoughts, and get the entire document available to the community. I just wanted to be as transparent as I could.
That almost sounded like a Barney Miller telephone call in a police station there. That was an older ring. I haven't heard those rings in a while. Well, somebody,
I've been around a long time, Trevor. I enjoy those.
Chief, somebody needs you. We'll let you go. God bless you, and thank you for pouring your heart out like that.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Chief Andy Hall right there. Wasn't that ring? That phone call, that was from the 70s or 80s or something. Stand up for law enforcement. How can you do it? Well, you can cheer them up is one way, and you can become a Power Talk Precinct president. Do it right now. PowerTalk967.com.
Trevor Carey. Power Talk 96.7, AM 1400, and the iHeartRadio app. Trevor Carey on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
That was a good interview right there, Chief Andy Hall. If you want somebody to hear that letter or to see the letter, you can go to the Facebook page, Fresno Police Department, or the podcast of the interview, and I read it. And ABC 30 also has it up on their site. Police Chief Andy Hall urges Fresno officers not to lose faith in community. It's hard out there.
Both law enforcement and the National Guard preparing for what could be another chaotic night of protests. Things really getting out of hand. Last night, about a half an hour before that 9 p.m. curfew, that's when investigators say officers were responding to a call for shots being fired when they were shot. Now, both officers are expected to fully recover from their injuries. One actually is already out of the hospital. Meanwhile, the suspect, Lorenzo Johnson, has been arrested on multiple charges, including assaulting two police officers.
Throw the keys away. Lock him up. That's when Chief Andy Hall saw those officers shot. That's what made his heart heavy and led him to write that. Here's the police chief in Louisville.
Our two officers who were shot during last night's protests are doing well and will survive their injuries. Last night's situation could have been so much worse for our officers and for the people who were protesting when the gunfire rang out.
Well, we'll watch tonight, see what happens. And there were protests around America last night. They just don't know the facts.
There will be celebrities, influencers, and activists who, having never lived in Kentucky, will try to tell us how to feel, suggesting they understand the facts of this case and that they know our community and the Commonwealth better than we do. But they don't.
We'll keep our eyes. It's, let's see, Louisville. Yeah, they're East Coast. My parents used to live there. My dad pastored a church in Louisville. I visited a few times, or once. It's because I didn't want to go back. It wasn't my favorite city. But we'll be talking more about it coming up here. Let's do a little gear switch up to our fire 34% containment. The Creek Fire, 291,426 acres have burned. As we've seen, 956 structures have been damaged. 5,283 are still threatened right now. So with the fires going on, we don't have Senator Kamala Mala out here. Our governor is not really focused on the fires. What's he doing? Oh, yeah, making sure we get all our cars electric by 2035. Where is that electricity going to come from? We're all going to think about everybody plugging in and overpowering the system, right? I mean, we already have that now with air conditioners. How are we all? Oh, my. So instead of making sure that a town right here in our valley has drinking water, he's focused on electric cars. Fresno B had an article. And good. See, when they cover things that matter to the valley and do it in an honest and upfront way, I will give you credit for it. This is a good article that exposed Governor Newsom telling a California town that they would get safe drinking water a year ago. He just says stuff and moves on. This Fresno Bee article, it angers you to see what the governor's doing. One of the residents there said Newsom already came and became aware of the issue, signed the bill, allocated the funds. Where is the action? Where is the action to get the water? This little town, it's called Tombstone, about 350 people, just outside of Sanger, little ways. It's about four blocks, half mile from the city of Sanger. Everybody there relies on pump wells that pump groundwater, as we've seen. So he can't even get out there and handle that. He can't. I mean, this is, well, it's California. So what do we think would happen, right? Do you want to hear a really, really good story? I think we need a good story. I was going to save this story for later in the show, but I think we really do need a good story right now. I would gather to think that probably 96% of us, or more, probably 99% of us could not do this. Maybe 99 point something of us could not do what this 96-year-old woman accomplished.
I'm 97, going to be 97 in November the 30th.
So when she scored a no-tap 300, knocking down nine or more pins with every ball.
I had all strikes in a row, not an open frame at all.
A first for anyone at Kennedy Lanes in McKees Rocks.
And that's hard. It's hard for a woman to do that, especially seniors. Come on, Arlene. Straighten your arm out.
Lions doesn't just toss out the strikes.
I belong to two card clubs. 7 years I jogged, worked Meals on Wheels for 15 years, took care of my husband. He had Alzheimer's for 5 years.
A focus on family keeps her going.
God gave me good health and he gave me a good family.
And a good right arm with a positive outlook to keep her young.
So I don't want to hear anybody saying, I'm too old to do that. That's going to make me hush up. Well, I was having a conversation yesterday with a couple of guys that were just a few years older than me, and we were talking about how we couldn't even fathom rounding first and, or rounding second, going for a triple, and the third base coach going down, to slide. It's like my brain might say, yes, he's saying slide, but there's no way my body. I wouldn't jump up in the air now and then come down and land like a slide. Imagine a Pete Rose head first slide. I wouldn't get up. But you know what? At 54, if I can't slide into second and this 96-year-old woman can bowl a 300, maybe I need to go out and give it an attempt. A lot of people have been exercising, and I've seen that in my neighborhood around here. Sometimes around the station, you see some homeless people running and exercising. Normally, there's blue lights behind them. It has become it seems like it's just overwhelmed our city, this homeless issue. I'm not venturing out on the 99 that much, but I can see on the 41, and I don't know what it's like in other cities right now, but 41 now, over since I first started talking about the Bluffs on 41, the new housing residential area that's going up, Shantytown, it has continued to grow. And it is growing, and it is growing by the day. And I would assume, I don't know who would take responsibility for that. If we called Caltrans, they would say, call the Highway Patrol, and the Highway Patrol would say, we're not removing homeless people during COVID. Call the city, we'd call the city, and they'd say, well, code enforcement is busy down at Emanuel Schools in Reedley going around with white gloves in their kitchen. Code enforcement, the city of Fresno, I say you have the responsibility. If it's Caltrans or you're saying the CHP, it's their responsibility, well, get on them later, but you need to handle this because it's in our city right now. And this is, it's not even just an eyesore. It's dangerous. It's also unsanitary. And right here off Shawn 41, there's a guy. I saw him. He had a couple buddies over today. Right when I get off the freeway exit, he's been living up against a gate here in the Marriott kind of courtyard way up here by Shaw. He's got him a nice little tent set up. I saw, going downtown off on the right on 41. It looked like a big old, like a reception tent. Yeah, big reception tent. Three of them down there, like you're getting ready to, you know, host a party next to the river. What's that? We can't go to the river?
People aren't regulated.
Okay, don't go to the river. If you know how to worry, then you know how to meditate and relax. Worry is meditating on the wrong thing. That was old Creflo Dollar gave me that statement. Will school open October 13th? They talked about it last night. You want to talk about it next? Yeah, you do, and we will.